listening to The Foundation of Wellness, a refreshing take on diet and lifestyle. With Jessica Dogert, a registered dietitian nutritionist, and Marisa Moon, a primal health coach.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is Marisa Moon, a certified primal health coach from marisamoon.com, living in Chicago and Northwest Indiana. You may also know me from my ancestral health blog where I post recipes at mylongevitykitchen.com. Jessica and I are having separation anxiety right now while I'm away in Hawaii. One thing you might be interested to know about me is that Eric, my husband, is from Hawaii, so we like to visit here as often as possible. For today's episode, I wanted you to get an insider listen to my most recent webinar called A Simple Step-by-Step Intro to Intermittent Fasting. This webinar spread like wildfire, drawing over 100 live listeners in 2 weeks. So it's your turn, actually. I want you to have this chance to listen because it's already helping so many people take an approach on this trending topic. And it doesn't have to be so difficult or confusing, as you'll learn by the end of this recording. In this webinar, you're going to discover the pivotal shift that we all must make to prime our bodies for caloric efficiency. And you'll learn what that means in the webinar, too. You're also going to discover the biggest misconception when it comes to weight loss and why most Americans have to eat 3 meals a day, but they still never feel satisfied. You'll also discover the 4-step process you need to make fasting work for you, or at least to figure out if it will work for you. You're going to learn the keys to burning fat and delaying aging for the rest of your life, and an easy way to tap into more energy and productivity in your workday. That's one of my favorite benefits. You're also going to discover a doable approach to help achieve and maintain a healthy weight, and a time-tested method for fighting cancer and disease. Oh yes, so much good stuff going on here. Buckle up and enjoy this recording. Oh, and one more thing you should know is that webinar attendees that were listening in were viewing slides that I made to go along with the presentation. So if you want more visuals and to download the actual slides I used, then email me to marisa@marisamoon.com. That's like Marissa with one S, M-A-R-I-S-A. And you can even message us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is called The Foundation of Wellness Podcast, and I'll send you a link to download the slides. All right, let's go. This is a step-by-step introduction to intermittent fasting. I created this talk for Man Beyond the Beach. It's a music festival in Chicago that's really doing something different. They have this entire wellness area where they do yoga and palm reading and sound therapy, and they have, you know, confidence talks and wellness talks. And it's my 3rd year presenting there in a row. And they let me be pretty creative. And I asked them if they thought the audience was ready to hear about intermittent fasting, because I've been on the intermittent fasting train for years, but I don't think my audience has really been ready for it yet. And this year we were. And everybody was saying, I wish I could go hear you at the festival. When are you going to do this again? And so that's why I decided to just make these webinars. I'm so glad I did, because I'm learning a lot and I'm reaching out to you guys. And it's the best connection I've ever had with my listeners and followers. So I'm totally pumped. And let's get started. So I created this talk at MAMI because intermittent fasting is trending like crazy. There's a ton of conflicting advice out there. And I know what can happen for you when you give your body a break from the burden of constant digestion and all these metabolic processes. Hey, Dana, what's up? You can hear the sound good? Oh, good, good, good. Okay, so I want you all to imagine if you could get sick less often, if you could maintain a healthy weight effortlessly, what about if you could live into old age without fear of cancer or chronic and degenerative diseases like everyone we know and love is getting at some point in their life? You know, one of the reasons that I love intermittent fasting is because it helps my daily focus and energy when I need it the most. And before I go any further, some more things about me: that I am a certified primal health coach, And I'm the food blogger behind My Longevity Kitchen, where I share recipes and lessons from our ancient ancestors. And I like to adapt all the lessons that we learn in that way to help you thrive in modern life, because a lot of them aren't practical on their own. We need to adapt them to work in today's world. We're constantly bombarded with health and nutrition advice everywhere we turn, right? And so many of us are still getting sicker and packing on the pounds and can't figure it out. And if we're not sick yet or struggling with our weight, you know, the odds are really against us for our health. Nearly 3/4 of the American population are overweight, and 1 in 3 of us are supposed to get cancer in our lifetime. That is crazy. 1 in 3 of us. Wow. By taking a step back from the modern world and looking back towards our ancestors for clues, we are able to tap into the full potential of our amazing bodies. And that's what I did when I found ancestral health. Ancestral, meaning the ways of our ancestors. It transformed my life and the lives of my clients. Once you tap into that and revive your broken bodies, it all starts with lessons from humans past. There's so much for us to learn there. I want you to think now, have you ever gone 8 hours without eating? 8 hours, let's think about that. What about 10 hours? Have you ever gone 10 hours without eating? I mean, of course, we've all gone 8 to 10 hours without eating, because that's what we're doing every night when we're sleeping, right? Especially if you get a good night's sleep, especially if you were sick and maybe you were sleeping extra long. We've gone 8 to 10 hours without sleeping. Well, today we're going to explore why we should be regularly experiencing a break from food for between 12 and 16 hours in a day, a concept that's called intermittent fasting now. I'm going to then give you the step-by-step method of implementing it in your life in a way that's appropriate for you, because what's ideal for one person might not be for the next. Maybe you already learned a little bit about intermittent fasting before, and like half of you told me, you've already tried it. I don't want you to get lost in the hype out there. I don't you want to get lost in all the noise, digging up all the different methods on that strategy, because you're going to hear all sorts of trends like eat, stop, eat, and the 16-8 method, the 5-2 diet, the modified fast, the alternate day fast, the 24-hour fast, the 3-day fast. There are so many modifications out there. And just like any other topic on health and wellness, you'll find a guru and a strategy on every corner of the web, and they claim that they found the perfect formula for fasting. It just doesn't have to be so rigid. It doesn't have to be formulated or predictable. In fact, I would argue that you'd benefit from being less predictable with your fasting. So maybe this idea is totally new to you. There were a few of you that said, I don't even know why I'm here, frankly. So let's dive in to some history before we explore the benefits and understand what's actually going on in our body, okay? We've been trained to believe that eating healthy, or a healthy eating strategy, is one that includes 3 meals a day, snacks in between for sure, and all these regimented meal times. But if we turn back the clock, we can see that historically, humans always cycled between times of feast and times of food deprivation. Ancient humans ate one actual meal a day, because food gathering and preparation took so long in those days. They might be picking or grazing throughout the day, but the meal was actually once. And during hunting trips, men would not eat a meal for as long as 3 or 4 days at a time. That was actually a usual thing. Let's not forget the changes in seasons that our ancestors experienced. In so many parts of the world, winters or droughts would mean week-long fasts, or even worse. So that means our genes, our human bodies, were never designed to process food during so many hours of the day. Never before has food been so available and practically shoved in our faces for us than it is today. Does that mean we should be eating more frequently? No. Let's explore what's actually happening in the body when we're fasting. What's going on in the body is we're cannibalizing ourselves when we're in a fasted state. I know that sounds so disgusting. But what that means is that our body is breaking down fat tissue to make it into the raw materials that our organs and our other cells need for energy and optimal function. Our fat becomes the food for the rest of our cells. Every human needs to actually enter a fasted state in order to burn body fat. Like regularly experiencing times when you're not inserting calories into your mouth is an absolute requirement for weight loss and for basic health. When we're fasting, you see, the stored body fat is used as a primary energy source. You've heard the saying, you're fattening up for the winter. Yeah, well, that's because our ancestors consumed seasonal fruits and lots of starchy carbohydrates in the summer and in the fall, which helped them store enough fat to last them throughout the deprivation of the winter. But in our convenient modern lifestyles today, we never really experience a winter. We constantly experience an abundance of sugar and carbs, which promotes more fat storage and prevents fat burning. And we wonder why most of us continuously gain weight and feel like it's out of our control. Now that you've got a basic understanding of how our dietary strategies today are misaligned with the way our bodies were designed, I want to get you thinking for a moment here. Let's talk about your metabolism. There's a widespread desire to speed up one's metabolism. We're encouraged to eat smaller meals more frequently and exercise more often so we can speed up our metabolism. But what do we really understand about a faster metabolism? A faster metabolism means that cellular processes are all speeding up. Our cells are dividing faster and multiplying freely. What does that mean? That means accelerated aging, higher chances of cancer growth, and a shortened lifespan. No one talks about these things when they're convincing us that we want a faster metabolism. And what we really want is to become more calorically efficient. We want our bodies to know how to use calories and nutrients in the most efficient way, requiring less food to function at an optimal level, and in turn, slowing down the aging process and fighting cancer, fighting rapid cell division. That's what we want. Not only is fasting gonna help us prevent cancer and accelerated aging, but it also boosts this process called autophagy. Autophagy is where our cells are eliminating damaged cellular matter and preventing further damage from occurring. These cellular processes are always going on because each of our cells makes up to 1 million DNA mistakes per day, each cell. And when these mistakes occur, our cells have to repair the mistakes or kill off the dysfunctioning cells. And then in the case of cancer, the entire repair system is hijacked and the cells grow continuously. 50 to 70 billion cells in our body are killing themselves every day just to avoid dysfunction, cancer, and disease. And fasting for 12 to 16 hours at a time helps the entire cleanup process work better. Gives your body a chance to clean up. So by now, this should be starting to sound pretty good. Extensive literature supports connection between fasting and fat loss. fasting and reduced cancer risk, fasting and improved cancer survival, fasting and improved response to chemotherapy, and fasting and extended lifespan. You know, fasting also promotes something called BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This helps you grow new brain cells at any age. It's remarkable. In fact, this is quite a new discovery. Like within the last decade, I think that they've confirmed that everything they thought about growing new brain cells is wrong. For us adults at any age, there is still new brain cell processes happening thanks to BDNF. You know, in most diseases of the brain, fasting seems to be a remarkable therapy. There is one exception that I'm aware of, and that includes MS, or multiple sclerosis, where the brain seems to need significantly more nutrients. But that is just one exception, because usually fasting works wonders for the brain. So at this point, we're getting pretty clear on the benefits of fasting and how the body works in that case. So let's discuss a step-by-step approach to determine how intermittent fasting can fit in your life. So one of the most important prerequisites of introducing intermittent fasting into your life is to face your reality in regards to how many carbs and how much sugar is in your daily diet. Are you with most Americans in that you eat 150 to 300 grams of carbs a day or more? When your body is used to a high carbohydrate intake like that, like most Americans, this leaves you burning energy really quickly. You'll find yourself hungrier more often, craving sweets, carbs, feeling like every meal needs to end in something sweet. Because of our modern carb-centric diets, fasting usually means hunger and misery for most people. It's too hard. Just forget about doing a 12-hour fast, because 4 hours between meals is making you totally hangry. But this is something that should be taken really seriously. Those who adopt a lower carbohydrate lifestyle, it can be moderate, like around 100 to 150 grams a day, hopefully less. 100 is such a great target. These people are often surprised at how easy these intermittent fasts are. Fasting becomes something that offers you less stress, not more. So the prerequisite to intermittent fasting is really to bring your carbohydrate intake to something more natural for the human body, something around 130 grams of carbs a day, aiming under 150 grams of carbs a day. Without this adaptation, you'll find that going 12 hours or more can make you hungry or irritable, even deprived. We'll get back to that one in a minute. Let's take a look at the carbohydrate curve created by Mark Sisson, the founder of the Primal Health Coach Institute, where I was educated, but he's also the author of the Primal Blueprint, the Primal Connection, Primal Endurance, and the Keto Reset Diet. This curve helps you understand a bit about what zone you're in when you're eating a certain amount of carbs. I like this because it breaks it down into something that's like easy to remember and to grasp. So take a look at the chart on the left side of your screen. Forget all those words on the right. I'm going to talk you through it. Notice on the bottom between 0 and 50, it says keto or IF. That's some states of intermittent fasting. Depending how strict the program is, you can end up with under 50 grams of carbs a day. Now, between 50 and 100 grams of carbs a day is a weight loss sweet spot. I mean, it's easy to lose weight when you're getting under 100 grams of carbs a day. It's just totally doable. And you don't feel deprived because you're burning fat for energy instead. And then when you get between 100 and 150, it's easy to maintain your weight. You don't have to constantly yo-yo diet and worry about if you're going to fit in your bathing suit in the summer, because you're effortlessly maintaining weight. Now, when we get over 150, we're talking about really high insulin production, rapid fat storage, high cholesterol, more incidences for heart disease. This is very stressful on the body, yet it's just become the norm. That's the way that we eat now, especially in America. It's just normal to have your meal revolve around carbohydrates. We get to this zone where we're just gaining weight so regularly, and there's really no turning back because we're caught in a vicious cycle and we're always hungry. That's why at the end of step one here, it's to go at least 21 days on a lower carbohydrate intake, something under 150 grams. It takes 21 days approximately for your body to become fat adapted or used to burning fat for energy. Does that make sense? You can't just all of a sudden switch over to being low carb and start fasting. And this isn't even low carb that we're talking about, by the way. It's moderate, it's natural, it's normal. So now step two, after you've already established your carbohydrate intake, gone 21 days on a moderate carbohydrate intake, step two says to fast for 12 hours. It's safe to say that for most humans, they should be striving for a 12-hour fast between dinner and breakfast. So when I say 12 hours, I mean from the last bite of food that you had at night, let's say 9 p.m., you don't eat breakfast until 9 a.m. Now, the cool thing is coffee and tea are fine during the fast, especially if it's black coffee and black tea or plain tea, then you're really not breaking the fast because it's ultimately just water with antioxidants, not really nutrients like macronutrients. And you still can have it like bulletproof style. That's what I do pretty much every morning. And you'll find that that leaves you so satiated, but it still helps produce ketones, which encourage fat burning. And coconut oil can help keep you in a fasted state. It's when you start adding in all this other fancy stuff that you're not fasting anymore. If you want to sweeten it, add some stevia. You don't want protein or carbohydrates in your coffee because that's definitely going to break your fast. So now step three, you'll notice the title here is, are you hungry? This is important. Fasting should make you feel good. You should feel comfortable and actually be performing better during your fast if you're fasting for the appropriate time length for you. Fasting for more than 12 hours is just not for everyone. In fact, I'm about to get into the differences between a man and a woman right now because these details really can't be ignored. And never before have I seen these differences between a man and a woman fasting laid out so clearly than I did recently when I read this article from marksdailyapple.com. Mark Sisson, again, just to remind you, founded the Ancestral Health School from which I was certified, and he's the author of The Primal Blueprint and the Keto Reset Diet. Now, Mark explained that biology cares most about your fertility. Can you reproduce? Can you produce healthy offspring that survive to do the same? These things come first in your body's genetic makeup and survival system. And from that perspective, a woman's situation is much more delicate than a man's. You know, as women, we have a finite number of eggs, and men have like an infinite number of sperm. It's totally unfair, but it's the way it is. A woman's body, we all know, needs extra nutrients to grow a baby, even to get pregnant. And after birth, you need more nutrients to be able to breastfeed. And no matter how advanced we get as a species, if we choose not to have children or not to breastfeed, our body still has this function at the core of its purpose. So regarding fasting, fasting is really simulating starvation, okay? Even a single skipped meal in a woman's reproductive brain center can register as trouble, especially when we're in our childbearing years. Intermittent fasting is a pretty regular thing depending on the schedule you follow. So that would mean you know, scaring your body into starvation regularly. The question you have to ask yourself then, is this alarming to my body? Mark simply suggests that women who are interested in fasting just be cautious, be self-aware. That's what I'm trying to help you do here in these steps. It shouldn't be a struggle for anyone really that's fasting, men or women. And for women, it shouldn't stop your menstrual cycle. It shouldn't make your life harder or more stressful. It definitely shouldn't make your life worse. Now for women that are really like crazy about working out, they're always in a very lean state. This type of woman regularly restricts her caloric intake, calories. Maybe intermittent fasting, probably not her either, because just a woman being in an exceptionally lean state, like I'm talking about 10% body fat or less, probably is a ballpark figure here. Restricting calories is enough scarcity, and there's not a lot of fat there to be burned in this state. So fasting would just be too much, even if you feel okay doing it at that point. We have to really use our senses here. Now, male or female, if you're working out hard a lot, like long distance running regularly, training for marathons, regularly doing high intensity training or CrossFit classes that push you to your limits, especially for women here, intermittent fasting is probably not a good idea, because those are our already very stressful, frequent states that you're putting your body through. Now, for everyone, if you're not consistently well slept, if you live in a state of constantly high stress, these are also reasons that fasting might just be too much stress for your body. But here I am. I'm a 35-year-old female, and fasting for at least 12 hours every single night of my life has made my life so much better. I have more energy. I'm far more productive. It's not even funny. And if I'm hungry, I eat, you guys. I definitely eat whenever I want. I don't try to fast or look at the clock and say, how many hours has it been? I naturally just don't eat now until I'm hungry. And it usually occurs between like 12 and 3 p.m. for me. And sometimes I will just eat because I figure it's been 15 hours. I don't know if that's going to be too stressful for my body. So I will just go ahead and eat. You need that kind of intuition and freedom, you know, freedom from a rigid protocol. And if you discover that you feel so much better with this eating pattern, it'll become part of your life just like it is mine. I don't even think about it. So back to the slides. After step three, you're experimenting with how 12 hours feels for you. Maybe it felt good. Maybe you weren't hungry. Now it's time to find the sweet spot for you. Different lengths of fasting between 12 and 16 hours overnight. What feels right for you? You know, men will usually enjoy a 16-hour fast, especially when their body is already used to being in fat-burning mode. That means they already eat a moderate to low-carbohydrate diet, so it's easy for them. It's unquestionable. Their life gets better. And for all of us, from this point on, you're starting the intuitive pattern I've been talking about. Maybe you're fasting on rest days from the gym, and maybe 12 hours on a high-stress workday. But maybe you're fasting 16 hours on the weekend. Or maybe you just fall into something that feels so natural, like it has for me, where pretty much every day I just don't eat. I have my bulletproof coffee in the morning, and then I don't usually eat until about 3 in the afternoon. I wake up at 7:30. So you will figure it out. I have full confidence in you. Just lean off during the stressful times and figure out what works best for you. So let's recap real quick, okay? Step one, you are going 21 days on a lower carbohydrate intake, okay? This isn't keto. This isn't low carb. It's under 150 grams of carbs, okay? That means you got to start thinking outside of the sandwich slices of bread outside of the wrap. Start eating things in bowls and filling up your plate with vegetables. Vegetables are carbs, okay? Maybe you can have one meal a day with rice or whatever it is that you're eating that you don't want to let go of. But do you have to have dessert? Really? This is the time to start training your body to burning fat. That's how you're going to tap into it. Step two, now you're ready. Try fasting overnight for 12 hours. Heck, you can try it right now. I just know it will be stressful if you are a sugar burner instead of a carb burner. So 12 hours is a great place to start for all of us. Step three, ask yourself, how do I feel going 12 hours? I stopped eating at 9, it's now 9 a.m., and I feel like at the first sight of a donut, I'm going to just eat the entire thing because I can't stand being this hungry any longer. I mean, what's it like for you? Are you hungry? If you are, fasting might not be for you at this time in your life. Lastly, did it feel good? Did it feel good fasting for 12 hours? Let's figure out which time length is ideal for you, from 12 to 16 hours. Maybe you'll be one of those people that wants to challenge yourself even longer than that. But studies show that when we get past 16, there aren't necessarily further benefits except for where we go psychologically. And if you're sick, fighting terminal illness, there are exceptions there. You'll just have to start doing your research and figure out what works for you. But for most people, finding that sweet spot between 12 and 16 hours and doing it intuitively according to your schedule is a really great way to go. I mean, you can see from this step-by-step approach that it's totally possible to start implementing this in your life without questioning if you're doing it right or wrong. I mean, it's pretty basic when you get to that point. It's doable for all of us. It's my commitment to give you everything that I can tonight in this webinar. Whenever I can, I'm always going to give my followers free content because that's how I learned and it's so invaluable. But I know that if you implement a low to moderate carbohydrate diet and then you start adding in these regular 12-hour overnight fasts, you're going to feel immediate results, you guys. All right. Thanks to everyone for joining me on episode number 12 for this special recording. Remember, if you want those slides from the intermittent fasting webinar, just email me to marisa@marisamoon.com, and I'll send you a link to download those. Next week, Jessica is teaching our listeners all about adaptogens. These medicinal herbs and plants are known for their unique ability to adapt to stress in our body. I can't wait to hear Jessica's episode. We love adaptogens. And until then, be sure to visit us on our Facebook page, Foundation of Wellness Podcast, and share our podcast with a friend. We'd love it if you iTunes users would subscribe and leave us a review. Thanks for your support, you guys. Aloha.